Okay, so Vayitrim in Torah Daled over here. So last time we started Eis Hay in Torah Daled, but I think it's kedai to start again in Eis Hay, and we'll go through it slower. But again, just I feel bad every time to sort of like reintroduce the Torah, but it's been a week and it's not a simple idea. But anyway, the core principle that at least that we're up to right now, the Rav Nachman is talking about is how every single one of us in our Avodas Hashem, we reflect the Creator. And the process that the Rabbanu Shel Olam Kivyochol went through in terms of creating the world and the ultimate purpose of creation and the destination of creation and the process of the world being created by Hashem and then eventually getting to its pinnacle in Olam Haba, that's the process we have to go through as well in our own personal lives. Every single moment. So what's the process of creation? So the kitzur, that's what we've been learning about, that the process of creation and the tachlis habria basically boils down into, let's call it, I guess, a number of steps. Step one, b'dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, the Rabbanu Shalom creates a world through his speech. So the Rabbanu Shalom says, yihi ar, vayihi ar, tad she aretz, yihi rakia, whatever, and everything that Hashem says comes to be. So the world is created through Hashem's speech, but what type of world was created through Hashem's speech? So even though in Chumash Bereishis, at the end of it, every single day, it's Toiv, and at the end of creation is Toiv Moed, Avraham Maisa, we know that although it's Taka true, it's Toiv and it's Toiv Moed, it's definitely not perfect. It's definitely not perfect. It's functional, the world is functional, there's a lot of good things in the world, but the original, ingredient of Toiv Avayu was still very, very strong. So Rabbanu Shalom creates a world through his speech, but the world that he created is chaser. It's still missing. It's still chaotic. It's still a place where the Nachash can convince Adam and Chava to do things against God's will. So it's imperfect, an imperfect creation. What's then the process? Well, then the process is, then the Rabbanu Shalom, eventually there's Klal Yisrael, and there's Har Sinai, and there's Avoida, and eventually the world is now L'sakin Olam B'malchus Shakai. Then the world is turned into a perfect state. Again, it always was created with Hashem's words, but the first stage of creation was imperfect. And then eventually, Bez Hashem, very, very soon, the world will be established as a perfect place. L'sakin Olam B'malchus Shakai. Fine. But then what's the final stage? So in the final stage is Olam Haba. And what's Olam Haba? So as we've been mentioning, Olam Haba is that the world is sort of deconstructed in a good way, deconstructed to its original essence. And what's its original essence? Not only words, but its original essence is vibration, because is movement of the speaker. Because the words themselves, like we've been talking about, words themselves in their essence is really just from the listener's vantage point, words have like their own identity. So if I'm saying words, like you hear the words. But from my perspective, from my body's perspective, from my within me, what are words? Nothing more than vibrations coming out of me. And so from the perspective of the speaker, what is words? Just vibration. So the tachlis habria is that ultimately, when the world is ready for it, ready, then what happens is the world is able to return and to sort of become, identify itself with what it truly always was, which is just the inner movement of the speaker. And so that results in what we call Olam Haba, which is the Rabbanu Shel Olam being in a state of expression, where all of reality is reoriented to be nothing more than just a reality of where God is just expressing himself and showing more of himself and revealing more and more of himself, which is what vibration is. Vibration is movement. Something that's, so the example that the Svarim give is if you have a bowl of some sort of fragrance, like an oil, that fragrant oil, and it's just sitting there, so unless you get very, very close to it, you're not going to smell it. But when you shake it up, then what's contained in that bowl becomes known and becomes revealed, right? The movement has the ability of taking something which is hidden and making it more known, bringing out its secrets, bringing out its nuance. That's what vibration, that's what movement does. The Olam Haba is, that's what's described in the Mekubalim, that Olam Haba is the world which was created by Hashem And when it was created by Hashem's speech, it turns into this like sort of separate reality that we experience from our perspective. Ultimately, the tachlis is for it to be able to return to its original form and to take on its deepest identity, which is just an expression, an expression of the Rabbanu Shlalom. And the God, and God through those vibrations of creation is a much more expressed and much more nuanced and a much more and a deeper God than when he was just quiet before creation. And so that's the process of creation. And what Rabbi Nachman was telling us is that those same steps we go through as well. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is going to be talking about more specifically with the meaning of speech in this particular ice that we're up to with ice hay. But Bekitzer, that's what we've been talking about, is that, and this is the idea that ice hay is going to be reintroducing us to, which is the following idea. That avodas Hashem is not the pshat that we go through life and we just like, we have to do mitzvahs, we can't do avers. Pshat is we are creating. We're the creator. Every single moment, the Rabbanu Shlomo says, whatever I'm doing on a historical level from the beginning of creation with my words and so on, all the way to the end, you have to do that every single second to your own life. Which means that every single moment, it's not the pshat we're doing a mitzvah. Or it's not the pshat chas v'shalom person's the opposite of a mitzvah. Pshat is that we're creating reality for ourselves. Just as the Rabbanu Shlomo created reality with his speech, so too we create reality by through our avodas Hashem. And every mitzvah that we do, or every chas v'shalom, the opposite of a mitzvah that a person does, so then every mitzvah is boiling down to words. The Aseres HaDibros, the Torah, the words of Torah. When a person does a mitzvah, it means that you are creating a healthy, good reality with those letters of Torah. When a person, chas v'shalom, does the opposite, it means you're creating a chaotic, a rebellious reality from your words. And so this is what Rabbi Nachman is telling us. And therefore, the goal is to go through life, to creating these B'dvar Hashem, just like Hashem created the world with his speech. So we create our realities also with our speech. Physical speech, or even just doing mitzvahs, which ultimately is rooted in the letters of the Aleph Beis. So we're also in the creative process. And the goal is that those activities that we do, they should ultimately be seen as a way of unpackaging, of us discovering deeper sides of ourselves. That's the idea. Just like the creation of the world, which is through Hashem's speech, ultimately is for the purpose of creating a dynamic where the Rabbanu Shloim is unpackaged, kivyachol, right? That's the vibration of reality in Olam Haba. So too, everything we do shouldn't be seen as just something that we do on the outside. It's a form, it's a means of unpackaging ourselves. So when you're doing a mitzvah, so it's gavaldik, you just revealed a great, mysterious, deep side of yourself called, and that happens through a mitzvah, that's gavaldik. But when a person does chas v'shalom an aveira, the opposite of a mitzvah, it's also ultimately for the purpose of self-discovery. It's just that now, since you've just created a chaotic version of yourself, right, so now you have to go through steps of sort of first dealing with the fallout, like we've been talking about, you know, saying you're sorry and so on. But ultimately, those same words, those same letters that have been used to create this unhealthy reality that's called a sin, that's called an aveira, ultimately those words will eventually be able to be shown for what they truly always were, which was vayter, just a discovery of the self. And that's what we've been talking about, how even through a sin, and maybe sometimes especially through a sin, a Jewish person is ultimately able to have a deeper sense of who they are, and when it's worked out properly, they come out the other end deeper. And that's the description over here of creating a world, so to speak, with your speech, in other words, or harnessing the words of Torah in a productive way, it's gavaldik, even in a destructive way, that concept is harnessing those words to ultimately discover a more nuanced self, a deeper part of the person. But when that's what Rabbi Nachman has been talking about. We'll see it together inside. Okay, so I say let's get back into it. The sins of a person, when a person creates himself, again, everything that a person does, you're creating yourself. You're mamash creating a new reality for yourself. So again, when you're doing a mitzvah, then you're creating a healthy universe that you are a part of. a healthy space. When a person chas v'shalom does an aveira, then you're creating a unhealthy, chaotic, a broken, disjointed, rebellious world that you're a part of. And this is what's described: avinoisa shalatim heimal atzmoisav. The aveiras of a person are on your bones. That their sins are engraved on their bones. In other words, again, the idea of bones means your fundamental structure, like who you are. So when an aveir is being etched on the bones means that whenever a person, again, does an aveir and so on, you're recreating yourself. But the version of yourself that you're creating through aveiras is a version where all your bones are disjointed and broken and disaligned, and it's just like all over the place. So, but again, like we're talking about, but with time and with the process of tshuva and so on, then those disjointed breaks become, those breaks of the bones become joints, right? So it's like a joint is also a broken, if you think about it, right? What's a joint? The joint, in order to move, in order to express yourself, in order to be more than just a stick figure, right? So it's like when a person, when little kids, if you're like a nursery and so on, whatever, they make them, sometimes they make them draw a picture of themselves. So usually the younger the child, the more like stick figure like they imagine, you know, when they're drawing themselves. So it's like mamish, no nuance, no movement at all. But obviously, as we know, in order to have movement, you can't just have chas v'shalom one long bone. The bones have to be made of different parts. So ultimately, the tachlis is for there to be one skeletal structure. But the skeletal structure is made of joints, made of different aspects that move against each other, and that creates life, that creates movement. The problem with an aveira is that what? Is that an aveira is the perfect thing. What is an aveira means breaking of the bones. But the problem is that if it's not part of a larger unified skeleton, then the person's just disjointed and the person's just broken into a million pieces. But when the process of aveiras, which is a creation of the self where the bones are broken, when that is able to sort of be reintroduced in a healthy way to a unified lifestyle called Avodas Hashem, then adrabba, that becomes a person that's double jointed, right? So it's like when you're a little kid in school, so everyone, you know, you have joints, but the cool kid is the one that he can bend his fingers like all the way back. You know what I'm saying? So that's what a Baal Tshuva is, right? What's a Baal Tshuva? Baal Tshuva is double jointed. So his bones have been broken so many times, but ultimately it's put back together in a healthy way. But those breaks result in an ability to move even more than the tzaddik. Makom shabali tshuva indem ein tzaddik mekom lamay. That's the site over here. Is that when averis become rectified, when that crazy universe of rebelliousness that we created with our unhealthy words, as we'll talk about, and again, it doesn't have to be literally saying words, but anything that we do is creating space with the letters that Hashem created the world with. We're harnessing that speech to produce an unhealthy space for ourselves, a space that's broken into a million pieces. But when that universe is rectified with tshuva, and then ultimately deconstructed to its essence, which is just brokenness, when that brokenness is then put back to, reoriented into a unified structure, then that results in a unified structure with many joints and a lot of ability to move and nuance and complexity, not just a stick figure. And that's a personal olam haba, to be able to look at yourself and say, and to be sort of in to be in awe, to even have a yira of oneself. You know, it's like the Rabban Shalom says about Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron and Miriam. How are you not scared to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu? Chazal say that every Jew has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. It means there's a certain aspect of the self that we should be in awe of, that we should be that there's a certain part of ourselves that we're like, wow, like you know, a certain mystery. When you look in the mirror, there should be something mysterious about it. Not like where'd that zit come from? That's a mystery to me. More than that, on a deeper level, to be in awe of the depth of yourself, and that actually sometimes is brought out specifically through the process of tshuva, where tshuva results in a person becoming more nuanced. But again, the person goes through this process, creating a universe which is broken in a million pieces, and then you begin to do tshuva, which is to deal with the fallout of that and find a framing in which all those broken pieces can be unified, And the net result of that is a structure which is more nuanced and more flexible. And that's better than the original thing, which was just a stick figure. And that's the process of tshuva. That's Olam Haba. The sins of a person is on the person's bones. Every avera ultimately comes from a combination of letters that the Rabbanu Shlomo introduced to creation through his speech, and we're harnessing that to create ourselves. It's just when a person doesn't have avera, you're harnessing those letters to create a unhealthy, broken version of yourself. And when a person does a mitzvah, you're harnessing those letters to create a healthy, a perfect version of yourself. When a person doesn't have avera, then his bones, his essence, is now being created through those letters that he's now harnessing in a negative way. And now you're taking that word that Hashem said to create a healthy reality, you're harnessing those letters of those words that Hashem said and creating an unhealthy reality for yourself. Where, in other words, the Malchus of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem, which is the world that Hashem created through his speech, you're taking that and you're creating your own Malchus. You're also doing that. You're also being a creative being right now, but it's now a Malchus of rebelliousness, a Malchus of Tumah. Shubachinas Dabar Ech Ladar, you're taking Hashem's Malchus, the concept of kingship, of royalty, of a kingdom, of reality, which is connected to speech, like the word Dabar means to speech, to speak, it also means a leader. And what are you doing? You're also doing that. You're also harnessing the speech of Hashem, the letters of Torah, the letters of creation, to create your own malchus, to create your own reality. But now it's a broken reality, a malchus that's broken in a million pieces. The Naisim Lehem Hamshala, and you're giving that kingship not over to Kedusha, you're giving it over to an unhealthy place, unhealthy malchus, Lamashal. Let's say a person violates the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom, you shall not have any other gods. That those letters, Lo Yilecha Elhim Achir Malpanai, those are letters that the Rabbanu Shloim spoke, the Rabbanu Shloim brought into reality for the purposes of creating a space that's creating a person, creating a space, a malchus which is shining with that reality of Lo Yilecha, and then ultimately that reality of Lo Yilecha is then moves into its final stage of Olam Haba, which is a reality that's there just to bring out the depth of God and the nuance of God. And so if a person embraces those letters and fulfills the mitzvah of Le'ilacha, then you're on track with that. And you're doing that to yourself. You're creating a deeper person and you're creating a healthy version of yourself with Le'ilacha, and you're on track to become a vessel for Hashem to reveal his vibration, for Hashem to reveal his depth through you. And that's gevaldik, that's perfect. But the problem is, if a person violates Le'ilacha, azay machar v'tzeref ha'toiv shel chibur, shel adibur, then what? Then you're taking those letters, but you're manipulating them, and you're creating an unhealthy, a chaotic, a broken, completely disjointed version of yourself in space through those letters. You're creating a malchus of tumah, a malchus that's rebellious, a malchus that's anarchy, a malchus that's the opposite of kedusha. And this reality that you have now created through those words that you've harnessed in a negative way is now your identity. And the person himself is walking around, like Chazal say, mole charata, full of regret and inner turmoil. The noikim boy, and that it's and the chaos that the person has created himself with, it gives him no rest. It gives it takes revenge against him. That your sins have sort of attacked you. Uksiv to Moses Rasha Ra, that the Rasha dies from his own evil. And so therefore what the person now has to do is, again, like we've been saying, first now he has to deal with the fallout. He has to do tshuva and to try to deal with the fallout of that chaos that he introduced to his life and reframe it in a healthy, holistic, holy way by doing tshuva and reintroducing Avodas Hashem in his life. But, as Rav Nachman has been telling us, there is a net gain from this. The net gain is that, again, once the person is able to be put back together, once Humpty Dumpty can be put back together, so he doesn't go back to just being an egg, or whatever, you know. He becomes a more nuanced person because of it. So through tshuva, then a person can actually discover deeper sides of himself, and mimela be a more a vessel of Hashem revealing deeper sides of himself, which is what Olam Haba is, through the person. V'alidei vidoy dvarim, and through vidoy, through confessing, whether it be regular tshuva or, like we've been talking about before, working out the inyan in the presence of a tzaddik, then yaitse matzmaisav ha'aisis ha'chakukim aleim, then those letters, the bones that have been until now defined by broken and disjointed letters, v'nasim hem adibur shel vidoy, now those letters become reconfigured to be the letters of confession, the letters of vidoy, and then what is created from now, these new letters, is a person that's, again, more nuanced and more balanced and deeper because of the experience. Ki adibur yaitzim atzmaisav, deeper words we also find connected to bones, kamesha kasav, kol atzmaisai tamarna, umachar v'binim atzir farah, and you deconstruct the negative identity that you've created through the unhealthy words that you've harnessed in an unhealthy through the words that you've harnessed in an unhealthy way. Ubainim emalchus to kedusha, and now you can create a malchus of kedusha. And again, ultimately, that universe that now you've created through tshuva and ma'isim tovim is now again, like I've been saying, is even deeper now because of the experience that the person has gone through with the brokenness of the bones. And so this is what Rav Nachman is saying. V'zeh sh'amru chachamein zuchram levrocha. I hope this is clear. I hope this is making sense. At least I'm like, okay. V'zeh sh'amru chachamein zuchram levrocha. And this is what Chazal say. V'shah shalhoch Yisrael ben midbar. When Klal Yisrael were going in the midbar, hayu atzmaisav shal Yehuda megulgalim. The bones of Yehuda were rattling in his coffin, in his aron. Why? So Chazal say, because, you know, Yehuda, he made a promise that when Binyamin was, you know, when he convinced Yaakov Avinu to take Binyamin to Yosef at Tzadik, so he said, like, you know, I'll sacrifice my Olam Haba for rescuing Binyamin. And Lamaisa wasn't so positive because Binyamin, it was threatened over there. So even just saying that thing of, like, I'll sacrifice my Olam Haba caused his Olam Haba to be not so poshut. And Chazal described this as his bones rattling in the Aron. Ach Amar Moshe, until Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda, that Hashem should listen to the voice of Yehuda, Shebikesh Moshe Makadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe daven from Hashem, Sheyizkor LeYehuda HaVidoy SheEzvada, that the Rabbeinu Hashem should remember the Vidoy that Moshe, that Yehuda confessed. The Chein Havilei, and that's what happened, and then his bones came to rest. So what is this Indian? Why is Yehuda's sort of inability to get to a place in Olam Haba where he's supposed to describe this, his bones rattling? So this is the idea. V'zeh davka atzmaisav ha'olam ha'gol. That's the meaning of his bones rattling in the Aron. Al shem atiyev enoisim chakuk al atzmaisim. Because what does an aver do? What does a sin do? Again, a sin creates brokenness of the skeleton. It creates this, again, disjointedness, this all over the place, this what should have been a unified malchus and a unified person, right? Instead of that, it's a broken, disjointed person. And that's what's described over here, that Yehuda, again, for whatever, we're not going to the Indian of Yehuda with Binyamin, that's not the point. But the point is, the description of a person being unable to sort of get to perfection, and a person experiencing the essence of what a sin is described as his bones rattling in the grave. V'ayidei havidoy, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and stafka Moshe the Talmud Chacham. Moshe Rabbeinu sort of acknowledges and sort of escorts Yehuda's vidui to the Kisei HaKavod, so to speak, and that results in those bones being put back together, but not just put back together, like we've been saying, being put back together in a way that's even deeper than before. So he says, "Vaydei vidui niskanu," and through the vidui, Yehuda was fixed. Va'olu kol chaluduchte, each bone is then put back into position. And that's the description of what tshuva looks like. The Yehuda is a bechinas malchus. We know Yehuda is always connected with the mid of malchus. Yehuda means royalty. And Remez, that's the inin over here. So this story of Yehuda skeleton being disjointed through sin, but then being able to be put back together through vidui, is mamish a description of not only zooming out, it's the story of creation itself, of the Malchus of Hashem, which is Yehuda, being first created through unhealthy words, through words that create a disjointed, complicated, confusing, even rebellious Malchus, but ultimately through vidui, through tshuva, and through tikkun, then everything is put back together. So not just put back together, but then is able to be then escorted into Olam Haba, which is what? Which is that all those broken pieces, all those joints are then able to reveal a more nuanced and deep expression of God and a deeper expression of the neshama. This story of Yehuda is mamish the story that we're talking about. We're talking about Yehuda, which is a malchus, a universe, a kingdom, which is at first created in an unhealthy, chaotic way because of words that were said that shouldn't have been said. That he says, "I'll sacrifice my olam haba." So now the malchus is the skeleton is disjointed, and then there has to be a vidu, a tshuva, to put the skeleton back together, and then it's escorted into olam haba, which is what's olam haba that the Rabbanu Shloilam and the person himself that said those words is actually able to be expressed more and deeper because of the broken parts that have been put back together. Then now the person's double jointed, and so that's this story of Yehuda is mamash the story of this entire Torah. So he says, "Remesh of the chinas malchus nistakin." So this is the inyan that malchus is able to find its tikkun ayde vidui devarim through this vidui. Zanas ayde Moshe, and this whole happens through Moshe Rabbeinu. Shezachar Moshe vidui, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that sort of brought out, the sort of escorted Yehuda's vidui into Olam Haba. Ki kein tzarech, because again, that's the idea. She avid lufnei atamid chacham. It has to be because this process is necessary to be in the context of a Talmud Chacham. Why? The whole Talmud Chacham b'chinas Moshe, and every Talmud Chacham is like Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Amr, Moshe Shaper Kamrit. There's a language in the Gemara that when a Talmud Chacham says something good, it's like, oh, Moshe, you said a good vart. And why do we need Moshe Rabbeinu? Because again, there's a number of reasons, but the reason that we've been saying until now is because, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is the b'chin of Shabbos. Shabbos is Man Olam Haba. So in order for the process of tshuva and the context of sort of realignment to be in a way that leads to an Olam Haba experience where you're even deeper and more nuanced because of that, so you need to align yourself with Bechinas, with Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Bechinas Shabbos, which is Bechinas Olam Haba. And by Moshe Rabbeinu reminding Hashem, so to speak, of the vidui of Yehuda, so that turned the experience of Yehuda into not just fixing a problem, but actually brought him that experience itself brings him into Olam Haba. Nasakilu hisvad achshulafnei Moshe, it's as if he said vidui in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vaydeiz in nistakim b'chinas malchus, that fixes the malchus. The nechra v'tzir farash nechaka kol moisav, and then the negative reality is able to be transformed into something positive. And then that's where Olam Haba comes from. V'zeh b'chinas hachzaras hamalchus l'sharsha. And this is what it means when we talk about, when we say in the Svarim, of Malchus being returned to its source. Again, that's a description of Olam Haba. Malchus means this world being returned to its source. Ki shayrish hamalchus, and what does it mean, Malchus, when it returns to its source? What form does Malchus take when it's returned to its source? Ki shayrish hamalchus hu esh. The Shersha Mavzer of Nachum says it's connected to fire. Like Chazal say, that Yeravim, the son of Nevat, so Nevat thought that his son is going to be Mamish the king because he had a vision of fire coming out of his bris, which to him meant that Malchus is going to come from his descendants. What does Malchus and fire have to do with each other? What's Rav Nachum talking about? All of a sudden, throwing a curveball, the answer is, it's exactly what we've been talking about. What's fire? Fire means the nature, you have fire and water, right? The nature of fire is the kayach of pulling something apart. If you have, let's say you have flour, right? Flour is made, like to make bread. Flour is made, if you look at flour, right? So flour is like made of tiny little billions of particles. So when you mix it with water, what happens? The nature of water is to unify things. What's the nature of when you heat something, what does it do? It breaks it down. So if you take a log, right? You take a log and you throw it into fire. So a log is made of different components. What the fire does is that it breaks down the log into its separate components, and all the components dissipate in the in the air and so on. And all you're left is with the part of the log that wasn't able to escape, which is like the carbon, right? So the nature of fire is to pull things apart. So again, Rabbi Nachman is saying this idea is that the nature of Malchus, kingship, reality, is created from Hashem's words. And what is words in its root? Vibration. What's vibration in its root? Pulling something apart. Movement, which is associated with fire. So fire is the kayach of taking something and pulling it apart. Now, when that is isolated in an unhealthy way, then that's incredibly destructive. And Malchus, when a universe is created through speech, which is rooted in the midah of gevura, which is the midah of fire, which is the midah of pulling things apart, and it's just like, just go, then that results in a rebellious Malchus. That results in a Malchus where whatever the king says, I say no. Right, that's also fire. That's also an ash. Like whatever, like instead of there being a unified system and a unified lifestyle, it's like all over the place. That's an unhealthy mind. That's the nature of aver. What's a sin? Sin is becoming disjointed. You know, ain't shalom batzmoisai b'vnei chatosai. I don't have any inner peace because of my aver. So the nature of reality is built on separateness, right? There's God and then there has to be us. So the nature of reality, the nature of Malchus, is built on this quality of fire, which is something being separate. But when that's released in its fullest form, without it being, you know, sort of reined in and under a larger context of Malchus Hashem, then what that results is an anarchy. That results in anarchy. It results in a person being an inner anarchy. And so, again, everything that we're talking about, that breaking of the bones, the disjointedness of Averis and so on, is fire run amok, is fire just doing its thing without it being reined in. What's the ultimate tachlis? So, in other words, based on this, how can we describe Olam Haba now? Olam Haba is a perfect union of what? Of fire and water, right? That's what we can describe Olam Haba as. Fire means separate, disjointed, nuanced movement. Right? And water means keeping it together. When there is a cohesive oneness of the person, and within that there's movement, that's called nuance, that's called double jointed, that's called vibration of the person, that's called expression, that's called mysteries of the person being revealed. That union of fire and water, that's why, you know, from the time, you know, even though very often little kids don't really, not very often, not always, little kids don't really know what they're talking about, especially when it comes to like Yiddishkeit, they just say, you know, so if you ask a kid, like, where's Olam Haba, like Gan Eden and all this, it's like Shemayim, right? That's not really true. Olam Haba is going to be down here, Tchias Meisim is here. But the fact that that's what little kids think, and even like maybe older kids, that, you know, it's like in Shemayim. And Shemayim, Gan Eden, all the Neshamas are in Gan Eden, Shemayim. There's a side to that. Shemayim is a Shemayim. So the secret of Olam Haba is Shemayim. The secret of Olam Haba is a union of Eish and Mayim. It doesn't mean that it's up there, but the that's what Olam Haba means. So again, v'zeh b'chinas hachzoras Malchus l'sharsha. Again, Ois Vav. This is the meaning of Olam of Malchus returning to its source. Ki sharsha Malchus hu Eish. Again, the source of Malchus. Separate reality. Words in their root, which is movement, is the kayach of fire. That's why when a person speaks, it's warm vapor. When it comes out of your mouth, it's warm vapor. The vibrations are associated with a warm vapor. So the warmth means gevura, means fire. Vapor means water, and that union together is healthy speech. That's called, like the Rabbanu Shalom sets us up, that we should be able to articulate ourselves in a healthy way. That when you speak, it should be part of your holistic identity, which is called water, but it should be an expression of some depth and nuance in that holistic identity. So whenever you speak, it's bechinas olam haba. It could be, because that's what, and the Rabbanu Shalom set up speech in such a way. It's just that, elkim asas adam yashar v'hem v'bikshu chashbanis rabim. So we begin to make ourselves more chaotic. So we err on the side of fire, and not, you know. So usually it's like one of the two. Either I'm a good boy, yetzer tov, which is just water, and I don't like, I'm just a stick figure, right? Or it's fire, and it's just like kulei chaos and kulei rebelliousness, and that's not healthy. The tachlis is for Eish and Mayim to be unified, to be to be Shemayim dik, to be Olam Haba dik, and to speak properly, which is heat, but unified in vapor and water. And that's what the Rabbanu Shalom wants of us. This is why Torah is described as both fire and water. Miyaminai, from Hashem's right hand, Eish das lamai, the fire of Yiddishkeit emerges. That itself is a paradox, because fire is always associated with the left, and water is associated with the right. Miyaminai Eish das lamai, Hay kol tzami l'chula mayim, Torah is compared to water. So on the one hand, Miyaminai Eish das lamai, Torah is compared to fire. And on the other hand, Hay kol tzami l'chula mayim, Torah is compared to water. So which one is it? The answer is Torah, which was nitein min shamayim, Torah was given from heaven, is the site of unifying fire and water together, of giving us an ability. So as you hear, here's this is the idea. Like, ultimately, a Jewish person is going to get to Shemayim. Like, ultimately, that's where we get. Which is what? Which is a person being one, holistic, having a sense of oneness to the person, which is called water, which is called chesed. But in that context of oneness, having nuance and double-jointedness and expression and mystery, being Olam Habadik and having all of one's experiences in life turning into just being used as vibrations of expressing the depth of your soul. That's what Olam Haba is. So we're all going to get there. The question is, how do you get there? So there's two paths. There's a path of getting there through Torah and mitzvahs. And then every mitzvah has this mysterious way about it of bringing a person to that destination quickly. Because every piece of Torah, every mitzvah is what? Is Hoy Kol Tzom L'Chulamayim. And Miyaminai Eish Das Lamai. So every piece of Torah has the ability of what? Of expressing nuance and depth of the person while keeping you whole. So Torah has a way of making you double-jointed without having to break your bones first. That's one approach. That's the best approach. But there's another approach, which is lean into the fire. I'm not saying you should do this. You're not supposed to do this. But a person leans into the fire, becomes mamish chaotic all over the place, and now has to deal with reintroducing water. In other words, cleaning up the mess, finding, becoming reoriented again, finding his one, North Star, so to speak, that unifies his entire life, sort of putting his life back together. And then as a net gain of that, so with the broken bones of my previous life and now being put back together in a holistic, in my unified life, so putting those two things together, I am now double jointed. And I'm now more nuanced and more mysterious because of it. But Lamaisa, it would have been a lot easier if a person picked the path of Torah Mitzvahs and discovered that nuance in that context of Torah Mitzvahs. Now, I'll just share with you one thing as we're about to end. The reason why. So why is it? I'll just share with you. So why is it that we find it so enticing to go with the unhealthy approach, right? I mean, it's like, why is it that there's this more? It seems like there's more of a tendency to go with, like, I'm going to lean into the Eish, you know what I mean? And then at some point I'll have to reintroduce the water, and I'll put myself back together. Like, why is the Natiya of like being Humpty Dumpty, like jumping off the wall, breaking myself apart, and somehow I'll be put back together. And when I'm put back together, it's better than before. So, but why? But there's another approach, which is like to keep Torah Mitzvahs, and you'll figure that out slowly. All right, so that's a good question. Why is there more of a likely? Why is it the other way more enticing? So I'm not sure if I'm gonna be able to answer. I'm definitely not gonna be able to answer that now in 2 minutes. But that I guess we'll leave that with a question, like. And as we have these, so the goal is the same. The goal is to become a more nuanced, sophisticated, mysterious, a person of mystery even to yourself. And that results with, and the only way to have that is, again, a unified identity, which is called water, with nuance and mystery and change and evolution and movement and vibration within that. So a person can do that with Torah mitzvahs. Torah is called fire and water. And when a person learns Torah and keeps mitzvahs in a pneumistic way, then you become, while keeping yourself together, you become an ish pneumi, a more mysterious person. But there's another approach, which is the unhealthy approach, but it also gets you to the same place. Ultimately, just you have to go through a lot more tzaris, and you cause the Rabbanu Shalom more agmas nefesh, right? Which is just chaos, without pure fire, Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall and shattering into a million pieces. And then all the men's horses, whatever it is, all the Avdei Humpty Dumpty can't put them back together again because they can't. The nature of Malchus is to be fire, so they can't do it. It has to come from above. So then the person does tshuva and says he's sorry to all the people that he hurt in his fire inyan. And then eventually he discovers that one unifying inyan in life, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and so on. And with all that, then he's able to sort of put himself together to become more nuanced. And Lamaisa, for whatever reason, you know, it seems to be that process seems to be like more enticing to people, but it's much more arduous, and it's not as healthy. So you have to pick the way of Torah mitzvahs, and then that'll be the mahalach that they'll be able to find things. Let's just finish up very, very quickly over here. Just Leisvav, Mamash before, Mamash for a minute. V'atayr nikrasesh, Torah is also called fire. Shemishama Malchus, because Torah is also where Malchus comes, where reality comes from. K'may shekasev, olay koi devar ke'esh. Uksiv bi malachim im loichu. V'ikar atayr heim atamid ha-chachamim. K'may shomar ha-chachamim z'lachorim. L'vracha ha-kamit t'pshoi. And a Tam Chacham is also called this. In other words, what Rabbi Nachman is also telling us right now is that there's another, well, again, we'll just end with this, is that he's introducing us to another reason why this has to be in the presence of a Tam Chacham, because a Tam Chacham represents the goal, represents a person that has chosen the path of fire and water healthfully. So in other words, when a person's trying to get to a goal, you need a guide, right? You need someone that knows what it is that you're going through and knows what your destination is. A Talmud Chacham is able to help the person go through the process of tshuva because the Talmud Chacham understands what the goal is, which is taka, to be one, but with nuance and mystery. That's what a Talmud Chacham is supposed to, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. So the Moshe Rabbeinu sees the person going through tshuva and says, like, I chab what you need to do. I chab what the type of person you want to be. Happens to be, I've gotten there, says Moshe Rabbeinu, with the path of least resistance, called the path of Torah, which is fire and water together. You've chosen a more chaotic experience, but I'm going to help you guide you there. If the Talmud Chacham doesn't appreciate, then you know this idea of a person becoming of the goal, which is to become a more nuanced, double jointed person, then he's not going to be able to help the Baal Tshuva along because then the person is looking at the Baal Tshuva as a bidyavid. We'll speak about this next time, but this is a very important point, that to be able to help someone, you have to, you can't see the person's path as just a waste of time. You have to be able to know and to realize that although the person might have chosen an unhealthy path, but where he's getting is somewhere important and something and somewhere special and somewhere that I understand as well. And then you could help them along the way. But if the person looks at the Baal Tshuva and in the back of his mind is thinking, just a waste of space. Like really, this is just like I didn't need this today. What do I need to do with this guy? His mom's just a waste of my time. Then that Talmud Chacham is not going to help him. It's not going to help him. But a Talmud Chacham who himself is a bechin of Moshe, who is an inyan of mystery, of nuance, of always constantly self-discovery within that unified context of fire and water, dikiyid. So now that person can look at the person that's in the process of tshuva and say, oh, you're mamish almost there. Because you have all the ingredients. You have all the brokenness and all the disjointedness, which is going to be vital. And you also have a neshama, which is the potential of being unified. So you have all that you need. All you need is a guide to help you put the ingredients together. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. But if the Moshe Rabbeinu, if the Talmud Chacham or whatever is, just looks at the person as like just mamish, like useless, then that's also, that's not good. So we have to respect other Yidden and know that every Yid is in the process of getting to their Olam Haba. We have to help them along. All right, Yashikach.